The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. The 11 disciples went to Galilee to the mountain to which Jesus had ordered them. When they all saw him, they worshipped, but they doubted. Then Jesus approached and said to them, "All power in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always, until the end of the age." The Gospel of the Lord. I celebrated at a funeral yesterday. It was the first time I'd given a homily without a mask on. I have to tell you, it's pretty amazing. It's been a very strange year. I do encourage everybody still to be careful because there are still people getting sick. So it's just good to be safe. Holy Trinity Sunday was the first Sunday. Well, I was ordained on the weekend of Pentecost. So I did a first mass, what we call a first mass in Virginia. Then I went home to Kansas, and I did a first mass in Kansas at my home parish. This is what you do when you're from somewhere else. You have two firsts. But this Sunday of Trinity Sunday is something that's it's had a very special significance for me because it is a time when we really do reflect on the mystery of God and our relationship with him. Because the Trinity is all about relationship. You could even say God is relationship. We know that we are made in God's image and likeness. But what does that really look like exactly? Today we have the opportunity to reflect on one God and three persons. God is a community. But we have to be careful when we speak about God because his being is so far beyond the limits of our understanding, our experience of time and space. God is. That's all we can say. God is. You can't say that God was or will be, because that would indicate that there is some kind of change in God. But we know he is immutable. He cannot change. In God, there is no before or after. The language of Father and Son is also confusing, because it might cause us to think that somehow the Father came before the Son, like it is here on earth. To say that the Son was begotten by the Father, to use any verb in the past tense, contradicts the reality that God is unchanging and always now. It is like the Father is always revealing his Word, and the Word is always being born. Present and co-eternal, you can only really say that the Father is begetting the Son is being begotten, in that eternal moment outside of time where this constant living and loving is taking place. Well, you can't even really use the word constant because that implies a passing of time. The new life that is being generated, that relationship which would not exist without the two, is the Holy Spirit, who is proceeding from the Father and the Son, itself a perfect personality in this divine community, all of this without a beginning and without an end. We humans experience things that generally begin and end, and it is hard to have an idea or image of what is endless. I think we could say the Trinity is Father, Son, and Spirit, eternal giving, eternal receiving, and eternal sharing in relationship. It is so much more than an old guy with a beard, Jesus of Nazareth, and a dove, which is the picture, I apologize, I put on the cover of the bulletin this week, because how do you put a picture of God on the bulletin? Well, what makes this Trinity Sunday not only a good time to reflect on God, three persons, but at his image, we who are created in his likeness, one community, many persons, absolutely equal, nobody before or after the other, sharing everything, serving, each emptying ourselves for each other. What we experience personally with God as a moment in time, he may be calling, or he may be consoling, or inspiring, or forgiving. These things have been experienced by every human being in all times, every person capable of relationship. In a certain sense, you can see the same outpouring of God in the Trinity that we are capable of feeling, being loved, being spoken to, listening, opening our hearts. In this sense, that word becomes flesh in us. We simply have to respond, to listen and celebrate. And our response is the same self-emptying that the Son has for the Father. It is not a selfish pluralism of individualistic responses, though. We respond together. We are one creation with one voice. I was reflecting on whether or not you can have a community of two persons. It seems to me like a couple and a community are not the same thing. But then again, in that sacramental consent of a couple in marriage, each's self-gift in the miracle of married life reveals the Creator's intention for humanity. Suddenly, there is a third, a son or a daughter, and the community is formed. I wonder if everyone were to recognize themselves and others as images and likenesses of God, if we might have a different world entirely. If we were to use the same theological terms to describe ourselves, at least as we ought to be, according to God's image, can we say that we are co-equal? We are one principle of essence, nature, power, action, and will? Can we say that we are indivisible, yet distinctly unique personalities? Persons enter into dialogue, out of which comes the relationship, which allows for service, mercy, and compassion. Companions on the journey that are to be in mutual service to one another, walking together and learning how to recognize the presence of Christ walking beside us. I remember visiting a seminary in Allentown, Pennsylvania, and having a realization of this godlike likeness that we carry. It is in the person of God's most perfect creation, the mother of his Son, and the mother of our community, the Church. She had the perfect Trinitarian identity, one that we can all hope to glimpse in ourselves. I think it was called Immaculate Heart of Mary Seminary, and over the altar were the words, "Daughter of the Father, Mother of the Son, Bride of the Holy Spirit."